Welcome to 180 Degrees, brought to you by the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland and supported by the Government of Ireland. Our mission is to be at the heart of Ireland's energy revolution. In this season, we share with you the stories of people across Ireland working towards a cleaner energy future. We discuss energy efficiency in the home, electric vehicles and Ireland's charging infrastructure. Hello and welcome to the third episode of Season 3 of 180 Degrees. I'm your host Louise Ryan and you're listening to a mini-series about home energy upgrades where we explore creating a comfortable and warm home, reducing carbon emissions through renewable heating systems and financing your home upgrades. In this episode, we're talking about financing an energy upgrade. This is a huge investment in your home which can take years to plan and save for. And now that we're out of lockdown, you might have noticed your neighbours, family or friends are getting work done in their homes. It might be a new kitchen, attic conversion or a garden redesign. But what we're talking about is a home energy upgrade, where you'll get several measures to significantly improve the energy performance of your home. The most well-known measures include attic and floor insulation, internal and external wall insulation, new windows and doors, solar thermal and solar PV, and heat pumps, like we discussed in the previous episode. Are you planning on doing any work in your home in the next few years? Well, we asked people on the streets of Dublin if they've recently invested in their home or if they had plans to do so in the future.
Yeah, I have double glazing, but I'm going to just improve the seals on the glass. Again, I'd like to get the C to a B, so that's the aim, money permitting.
There's talk of a new kitchen, which is quite imminent, could happen in the next month or two, so we go along with that.
So we're in the process of going, I think it's on Pust to have a scheme where someone comes out and we'll have a look at it. And obviously we know the windows could be better, the attic insulation could be better, but someone to give us the big picture, because there's no point in just deciding ourselves. We think of just doing it ad hoc.
I would hope to get, as I say, I have looked into this just in minor, at a minor degree, but I was hoping to go about certainly insulating the back of our house a little bit more. And I'd love to go about looking into solar panels, but that's something for down the line.
Yeah, I think so. If the landlord was up for it, I think there'd be no harm, particularly now with the whole climate change movement. As it stands now, I feel that like there's no harm in trying to be a small bit more better with energy in that.
Okay, so a mixed response there, but I think the good news is that everyone would like to make their homes more energy efficient at some point. So someone who has just done that is homeowner Cormac Madden, who has been telling us about his home energy upgrade for the past two episodes. And now he explains to my colleague Orla how he financed the works.
Cormac, upgrading your home can vary greatly in costs, obviously depending on what you're getting done. Can you talk us through the different upgrades you completed and how you financed the project? Did you do it all in one go? Was it a phased approach?
Yeah, it was more of a phased approach for us. So initially, we put in insulation in the attic, kind of better quality insulation. We had insulation already. So we put in some of the board kind of insulation. And we also did heater controls. At the time, we had a gas boiler. And I think we were changing the boiler around that time. So we got the grant for controls and we did that. And then the big one that we did was external insulation. And we did that as a separate project. And once we had all of that done, and it wasn't really part of any kind of coherent plan, but when I heard about the Superhomes product, it seemed like a real fit for us because we'd already done a lot of the hard work. So we still had a really poor front door with single glazing and aluminium and with the post box that kind of blew open every time there was a breeze. So in a way, those details were actually wrecking the benefit of the external insulation we paid for. So we decided to package it together, do it all together. And that's kind of how we phased it out. So it was around 7 or so years long, that kind of duration, but from beginning to end.
When you were kind of getting the finances together, had you kind of saved up for it, or did you avail of any, I don't know if the green loans were around then, were they so much?
Yeah, the green loans weren't around, but we'd saved some money. And it was kind of, I think the external insulation was done towards the end of the recession. So, you know, we had been doing an extension of the house and that went a little bit wrong for a long period. So we'd been kind of cutting back a bit actually because of that. It was costing more than expected. So then when we had finished that and kind of we came to the end of the recession, we had a few savings built up because we kind of kept those kind of habits. So we decided then to invest in the external insulation. And then likewise with the heat pump, then again, we left an interval there and we made enough savings to kind of make that an easy jump for us at the time. Yeah, and a big incentive was the 30% grant, because it's one of those ones. If you, you know, that's a really good value kind of proposition. We needed to change the front door of the house anyway. So we kind of used the fact that we were getting a grant to upgrade the door to passive standard, which is really, we're absolutely thrilled with it. So we kind of wanted to get that benefit. So that was a bit of an incentive to stretch that a little bit further.
And at the start of the project, what kind of research did you do before you kind of committed? Because it's obviously a big investment.
Yeah, we with the external installation, we did get several quotes and we did a fair bit of research. And we had used an energy assessor to get a BER rating anyway for the other grants before and after. And he was very knowledgeable and kind of well known in the industry, so we were able to pick his brains as well. So we did a lot of work on the external installation, researching all of that. And I think the option we went for was a pretty good one. We're very happy with the contractor as well. Very easy to work with them. With Superhomes, then, the great benefit was we know that they're basically a charity. They're non-profit making. They're set up really with the ideal of lowering carbon emissions, improving energy efficiency. So we could trust them implicitly, and they had a lot of knowledge built up at that point. So at that point, we just kind of took their advice and kind of went from there.
And I know you mentioned you did get to avail of the SEI grants. How did you find that application process?
Actually, very easy. I did the applications myself for the insulation and the heater controls. The external insulation, I think I applied myself. I'm not sure. I could have been the contractor. And then for the retrofit, that was actually all done for us. I mean, there were certain things I had to do to enable Tipperary to get the grant, but it was completely seamless. So I thought the online processes worked very well, actually, and I'd be a real critic now. I'm known in the house for giving out about bad interfaces. Like, it worked very smoothly.
Have you noticed a difference in your energy bills? Do you know what your maybe average annual energy costs are now?
I don't actually. My wife now looks at the bills more than me, so that I'm a bit negligent in that area. But I did do a comparison early on of kind of before we had gas, and obviously with general electricity in the house as well, and then comparing that, those two bills together with the new electricity bill. And I noticed a small decrease, but at that point we had particular settings on the heat pump, which now have been adjusted. So we're going to look at it, and we expect it to go down further. Yeah, so there was a reduction, huge increase in comfort. And we're just waiting to see now where we get it to.
Great. And I do think there's something to be said for having the one bill coming in as well. You know, it's easier
Absolutely.
To keep track of as well.
And there was a great feeling of satisfaction too of disconnecting at the gas grid. And it's simply because we knew there's no fossil in the house, like an induction hob and kind of electricity heating. So we kind of knew then that piece of work is done, because the electricity system is going to decarbonize anyway. There's targets around all that. So yeah, it was a nice feeling.
So I'm now joined by my colleague Tom Halpin from SEAI, who is going to explain the various SEAI grants and pathways that homeowners can avail of when upgrading their home. Tom, we heard there from Cormac that he took two different routes over the years to get his home upgraded. The first, he managed the contractors himself, and he applied for the SEAI grants himself as well. And the second, he went through an agency or a one-stop shop who managed the process for him. Can you explain to us in a little bit more detail all about these different routes for homeowners who are looking to upgrade their homes?
The first route that we tend to recommend to people, of course, is that if they are a qualifying homeowner that might be eligible for our energy poor services, then we want them to look into that first, because that will mean that they can have their home upgraded for free with all of the activities managed by SEAI, the assessment, the works, etc. Now, the qualification criteria tend to be in certain social welfare benefits, mm-hmm. but they're all detailed on a website. Now, of the two routes for a person who wants to upgrade a home and they're going to pay for part of it, the first route, which has been around for quite a while now, and there's over 300,000 homes have been upgraded through this route, is where you decide what individual measures you want to get done. And that's typically guided by a BER assessment. And when you've decided what measures you want to get done, you then select a contractor for those works yourself, and you schedule the works yourself. And of course, having applied for the grant first, once the works are completed, you then get each individual contractor to sign off the paperwork. Now, it's actually fine. It's a great way to work. And as I say, 300,000 homeowners have done it. And it allows you to do the works bit by bit.
Okay.
Maybe particularly if you're saving for each bit of works. But the one that Cormac did as well, which is the one-stop shop, which is going to become more and more part of the way we upgrade homes in Ireland, is the one-stop shop. And this alleviates many concerns that homeowners have. Because homeowners typically are concerned about, where do I start? How do I know how to rely on the contractors I choose? How do I find the contractors to choose?
Yeah, it's daunting, isn't it?
It is very daunting. Yeah. No, it's very daunting.
Yeah.
And then you've got, well, scheduling the works. Which one do I schedule first? Do I do the wall first and then the roof? Or should I have done the heating first before I do the walls? And people are a bit sort of flabbergasted by this. And then there's the thing of payment. So what the one-stop shop does is it lifts all of that away. Because you only deal with one entity, and it might be an energy supplier, or it might be a large contractor, and there's going to be more and more of them available. Okay. And they will send out a person just to do a rough assessment of your home. They might then send out a surveyor to do a more detailed survey, which would include perhaps a BER or building energy rating. Then you've got the route for what needs to be done, and they will recommend what needs to be done. And we're tending to guide people, get yourself to a B2, do it once, do it right, do everything in one go. They will then decide which contractors are best to use for your home. They'll appoint them. They'll schedule them with the works. So you're dealing with one person. It's like dealing with concierge in a hotel. You don't have to think about the cleaning or the catering or who's going to make up the bed. They look after it all. And then at the end of all of that, they look after the grant administration. And what's really great about it as well is they will only charge you the price of the works net of the grant, because they will collect the grant on your behalf from SEAI. And we expect as well that many of these players will start to offer finance, much like Unpost and the credit unions are. So it's really beginning to evolve into an industry rather than a group of trades.
Okay, so this is the wedding planner for home energy upgrades, basically.
Brilliant, Louise. The wedding planner. The wedding planner.
So how can people apply for it? Where can they find out more information?
Yeah, well, already there are a number of market players that are providing this service, and they're listed on our website. I think there's about a dozen or 14 of them on our website already. And we are planning towards a growth phase in this, where we'll register more of these one-stop shops, and they will promote their services. But where they are registered with SEAI, we'll be carrying their names on our website. In order for them to qualify for this advance payment of money, etc., they have to be registered with us. So you can't just go to anyone and say, will you manage this on my behalf, and hope then.
Okay. So. And then the big question I think a lot of people will be wondering is about availability. Do these one-stop shops have availability for people at the moment?
Absolutely. And it's definitely a big question at the moment, because after the 4 or 5 months of the most recent lockdown and the few months before that, supply is tight, and some contractors are out the door, which is a great complaint, and it's good to see any industry or any sector recover after the horrendous pandemic. On the other hand, those market players that are listed on our website, the one-stop shops, I should say, listed on our website, are ones that we're confident have capacity and have the stream of funds to allow you to do it. Of course, you can shop around as well. And we would say that in all instances, even be it with the individual grants or be it with one-stop shops, because it's not the case, like, we're not setting prices. And I think that's an important one to the listeners.
Yeah.
And also, some will provide different services. Like, they might throw in the BER for free, but they'll charge you for project management. Or they might throw in all that free, but their price for windows is a little bit more expensive, or their price for roofing is a little bit cheaper. So when you're doing this, it is going to be a substantial outlay for any homeowner. You know, you're going to be talking 15, 20, 30,000 euro. It is a substantial outlay. Get it down in writing. And if you're in a rush, you need to go with the people who are available today. If you're not in a rush, you can then maybe defer and decide who's the better value.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, really good. And so what advice then, Tom, would you have for people starting the grant application process on their own maybe? What should they do first?
The very first step that anyone should do, if they just don't have a clue where to go, which is most of us, by the way, because you're looking at a house, you don't know what's in it, you don't know how the walls are built, start with a BER or a building energy rating. This is twofold. One, it'll tell you how far down the scale you are. And believe you me, more than half the homes in Ireland are D or below. So it's all right to be languishing down a poor grade, because energy regulations are relatively new in this country. The building energy rating also comes with an advisory report, and there's the new advisory report, which is just introduced this year, is really, really detailed and personalised to your home. It'll tell you which parts of your home are not performing to what might be a good specification, and where to start, which ones you should upgrade first. And it also gives you an indication of the rough cost or the scale of price that you might pay, okay, and the savings that you'll make in order to bring you to a B2. So all of a sudden, really, in a matter of two pages, you've got this roadmap for where to go. More than likely after that, you've got two things that you're going to be looking at. Insulation, any heat you put into a house, you should keep in there. T-Cozy principle.
Yeah, that's where you start.
That's where you start. Yeah. Insulation, insulation, insulation. And that insulation is more than likely the walls, the roof, and windows. And all of that will keep the heat in. And then you move to, well, now I'm keeping all this good heat in. Is there a better way to get that heat in? Yeah. And that's going to be a more efficient heating system, or better still, a renewable energy heating system. And you can get renewable energy in the form of a heat pump, solar panels for heating your hot water, and solar panels for electricity. And so it's assess, insulate, add renewables. I should just add that at the moment, if you're getting windows done, that would really only be through a one-stop shop. You can't get grant aid for it through our individual grants. There is a difference in what's supported.
But supported through the
one-stop
shops?
The one-stop shops, yeah. So the assess, insulate, add renewables. Now, in terms of the grant process for an individual, so take Cormac when he was getting the first part of his works done. What you have to do is, once you decide on what you want to get done, and let's just pick a simple example of, say, cavity fill for a wall, and that's the one measure you're getting done. All the contractors that provide that service nationwide or specifically in your area, if you want, are listed on our website. Pick a few of them. Get prices from a few of them. Always shop around. We shop around for our shoes. We shop around for our cars. So shop around for your cavity wall insulation as well. Then get references either from them, or you might even ask a neighbour who got it done, like, what was that lad like? You know, did he turn up on time? Did he leave a mess? Did he charge you? Did he throw in any extras? Was it, you know, a pain in the backside to get it done in the first instance? All of those things. And then you, once you've decided who you want, apply online, super slick application system that we have. Choose your contractor, apply, and sort of as you pick your finger up off the return button, you'll have instantaneous approval. And you've 8 months then. So it's instantaneous approval, but 8 months to get the works done.
Yeah, and that allows you to apply first. Yeah.
Must apply first. But the 8 months is important, because if you're then going to get two or three things done through the individual route, you may, you know, your cavity wall guy might be available in October, but the roof guy mightn't be available till December. And then the heating controls guy mightn't actually be available until February. You can schedule it like that, and you've 8 months in which to time the grant.
Yeah, that makes it a bit easier. And then you've all the works done. Do contractors, do they need to sign off on the works? How does that part of it work then?
Yes, so at the end of it all, when you get your grant application approval, there's a form for each of the things that you applied for. So say it's cavity wall and attic that you got, you'll have three forms. So the cavity wall contractor signs to say he did all the works in accordance with our requirements. The roof guy signs off on his, and then you have to get a BER done at the end of the works as well to show what your home is rated at. There is a €50 grant towards that BER, and then the BER assessor signs off to say that the BER has been submitted. Gather those three into an envelope, claim the grant, and it's paid electronically into your bank account.
Lovely.
Pretty quickly behind that.
Pretty quickly, nice to
hear.
Yes, yes. So obviously the grants we're talking about here, Tom, are a big help. We're saying they cover around a third of the costs when it comes to funding the upgrades, roughly.
Yeah, roughly. They're fixed grants. So take, for example, the attic as an easy example. It's a €400 grant. That would be roughly a third of the price, as you say, of a 3 to 4 bed semi-detached home. Now, if you live in a small terrace house, the €400 will give you more than a third.
Yeah.
If you live in a large detached bungalow, it's going to be less than a third. So it's just as an indicative, it's about a third for an average family size home.
So all us country people now, we're going to be less.
Not the people
less
in
well
small, not the people in the towns and villages.
A third is fantastic, but I suppose it doesn't cover everything. And some homeowners might have savings now, especially after COVID. None of us can go on holidays.
Yeah.
We haven't gone anywhere. We haven't done anything. And again, some others might need some different financing options. So can you tell us a little bit then about green loans? I'm seeing loads of ads from lately on Post and different places. Yeah, credit unions.
Well, as you rightly say, of course, post-COVID and let's hope we never live through anything like that again, many people have accrued money, and this is a great place to put them because, you know, when you improve the energy efficiency of your home, you reduce your fuel bills, which means you're getting a return on investment, and that it'll pay for itself in sometimes in a matter of years, maybe 10, 12 years for the larger measures. But it's a great place to put your money, great place to put your money. But yeah, green loans, the likes of Unpost and Credit Union, they're offering preferential loan rates for home energy upgrades. We want to see a lot more of this in the marketplace. At SEAI, we are very keen that one of the barriers to investment is people not wanting to borrow at exorbitant rates. And we believe that the financial institutions can support this great movement to support the environment, to support Ireland's climate action targets. But the loans themselves, people can be a bit intimidated by the notion of borrowing money for home upgrades, particularly when they're not visible, like the wet room or the kitchen upgrade. And there's two sort of advantages to these green loans, or a double advantage when you go with a green loan. You're getting a better rate than if you borrowed just to do a gazebo or a decking or, you know, patio doors or something like that. But also, when you borrow, say, €20,000 to do the wet room conversion, and your repayments are whatever that might be, €500 a month, with the energy upgrade, when you borrow €20,000 to do it, your €500 payment effectively comes down to €400, because the savings are contributing towards the payment in a way. It's lower risk, definitely, for the financial institutions, is why we're trying to encourage them to get on board. And it's great to see Unpost and the credit unions and some of the high street banks doing it as well. It's lower risk. I'm not saying zero risk, but it's lower risk for them because people are more able to pay back as a result of the energy savings they're making.
Yeah, so that's another route for people to have a think about as well. And I suppose just go and have a... Yeah. Educate yourselves on it and see what's out there.
Yeah, look, an investment like this is not something you tip into easily. It's of the scale, as I said, you know, being 20, 25, 30,000 euro, it's of the scale of a brand new car. You're not going to, on a whim on a Friday evening, say, I think I'll buy a new car and then go out on a Saturday and buy it. You'll do a whole heap of research. That research will really pay you back in spades, simply because you'll have identified the best solution for your home, you'll have identified the best people to do it, you'll have identified the best way to finance it, and at the end of it all, you'll have such a comfortable home.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and that's the, you know, we're in our campaign that's running at the moment, we're talking about discover a new world of comfort. Fact of the matter is, we have homeowners who believe that the back bedroom is destined to be cold. It's not. Your back bedroom can be as warm as the rest of the house, and you can have the whole home heated to a nice, comfortable temperature. It can be warm when you come home from work. It can be warm when you get up in the morning. You can have hot water. All of that comes from an energy efficient home.
Yeah, and I think are more people starting to realise that now, that a home energy upgrade isn't just a nice to have. It's like a kitchen. A new kitchen might be nice to have, but a home energy upgrade is something that we all need.
Absolutely.
Unless we have the fortune of living in a new home, maybe.
No, absolutely. It is becoming something that people are beginning to realise. Well, first of all, because of the pandemic, we've spent a lot more time in our homes. But because we're there during the day, and because we're there at 5 o'clock, and because we're there first thing in the morning, and we're there through the morning, typically we sort of, for those who worked outside the home, you sprint out in the morning, you sort of tolerate it being a little bit chill. And you sprint in and you tolerate it being a little bit chill until you get the dinner inside or get into the living room with the radiators full on. Now we know that, you know, this house isn't quite the way it should be. And, you know, with returning to work, you know, blended working regimes and that, we're going to spend more time in our homes. And it is important. And, it also means, as you say, that it's likely to become more than just the kitchen upgrade and the wet rooms. Maybe we might be kitchen upgraded and wet roomed out anyway at this stage, and we're looking for other place to spend our money.
I think everyone was doing gardens last year, wasn't it?
Gardens as well, yeah.
But I think we hear a lot as well, then, Tom, just about that word payback. Mm-hmm. And I think you've kind of touched on it there. It's not just about the financial payback, I suppose. It is about...
Well, we have a sort of a funny relationship with home energy upgrades, because we do a bathroom upgrade to, say, a wet room. I keep picking on the wet rooms, and I've nothing against wet rooms, by the way. It's my trope as such. But we We do an upgrade up and we like looking at it, and it adds to the pleasure we take from our home. You do a home energy upgrade, mm-hmm. and it adds to the comfort of your entire home. Every room is comfortable. You have hot water when you need it. It's a balanced temperature throughout.
Yeah.
We look at the wet room and we don't say to the wet room now, how fast are you going to pay back?
Yeah.
But we look at the home energy upgrade that has given us all this added pleasure of comfort, and we look for a payback. The great thing is it does pay back. And as I said, the simpler measures like attic insulation and cavity wall insulation, could pay for themselves with the grant, about 3, 4, 5 years, something like that. Larger measures like dry lining of the walls instead of cavity, you might be stretching into 8 years. Other ones like external wall insulation and heat pumps, you're probably talking 10, 12 years.
Okay, yeah.
But bear in mind as well, take for example a person who might be buying a home and spending an inordinate amount of money on it, and then spending an inordinate amount of money on reconfiguring rooms or adding rooms. Putting in, and I don't mean to diminish the sum of money, but putting in an extra 30 grand into that pot to get yourself a super controllable, renewable heating system, thick, thick, thick insulation on the walls, the roofs, triple glazing instead of double glazing. So much worth it. So much worth it.
I think, yeah, and you mentioned buying a house there as well. It obviously, a home energy upgrade adds to the value of your home as well. I think that's probably an important one.
Yeah, it definitely does. And like that economists have studied this and said that, you know, on the scale for the BER, there's 15 points on it. And the data suggests that for every point on that scale, it's 1% added to the value of the home. And you just have to think of it. Like if you're looking at, you know, you're looking at a house in Athlone and there's two houses in an estate, and they're ostensibly the same garden, they're the same four-bed semi. One of them, the homeowner, has done nothing and it was built in the 1970s and it's languishing down as an F. The other one, the homeowner has upgraded it and it's maybe a C, for example. Well, you're almost assured, well, why wouldn't you buy the more energy efficient one? And why wouldn't you pay a slightly higher price? So it actually improves the price and pace of sale. And it can become a bit of a bargaining chip. Now, I know it's a hell of a market out there, but it can become a bit of a bargaining chip if you have to do stuff. In the same way as a person goes in and say, well, geez, we're going to have to decorate this place because I really don't like the look of the brown paint or whatever. It's the same thing. You can say, yeah, well, look, our surveyor says that it needs wall insulation, needs attic insulation, and those single glazed windows have to go. So, like, it's a bargaining chip.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm trying to buy at the moment now, and like it's something you actively do seek out. Yeah. Something like a higher BER is just going to make it easier for the buyer as well, I think. You just don't have to put in that amount of work.
Well, the great thing is that, you know, BERs were first introduced in this country 15, 16 years ago, and people just didn't have a clue. Now people see BERs and they have a good understanding of the A to G, the green to red. They're seeing it on appliances, they're seeing it on cars as well. So we know that energy is a component. And it's the same way as buying an appliance in one of the major electrical retailers. If you stand there and you're looking at two washing machines and they're both same price, same load, same spin, and one of them is a B and one's a C, why would you buy the C-rated one? You know, so it'll always be location, location, location. But if everything else is equal, go for the higher efficiency one because you'll have less work to do. Or if you do buy the low efficiency one and you get the BER cert, ask for the advisory report because that's your roadmap that we talked about earlier.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a good tip now. So Tom, last bit of advice for anyone out there who's maybe living in a cold, damp home. What would you say to them? Where do they start?
The tip is to discover a new world of comfort.
Yeah.
So I'm on message there. That is the thing. We have an entitlement to live in more comfortable homes. And the first tip is, if you don't have a BER, if you haven't done, but just bought the house or you didn't do a BER in the first place, get a BER assessment done. Might cost you, I don't know, a couple of hundred quid to get it done. But you will know whether your home is good or bad. And you'll stop guessing. You might be in the room, house saying, I reckon the attic's all right, but the walls aren't. The BER assessment may tell you that, in fact, the attic isn't that good and the walls are fine.
This is the NCT for your home.
The NCT for your home.
Tom, thank you so much for that. Thanks to our guests, Tom and Cormac. If you'd like to find out more about home energy upgrades and where to start, please visit seai.ie/home-energy-upgrades. And that's it for home energy upgrades. And we hope you find it really useful. Stay tuned for our next episode, which will be all about electric vehicles.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you've enjoyed it, then please like, share, and subscribe to our podcast. You'll find previous episodes on our website, seai.ie/podcast, along with information about our grants and supports. Until next time,